We're joined in the media center following the 50th Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals by our pro stock motorcycle winner, Andrew Hines. Andrew raced Corey Reed, Jerry Savoy, Hector Arana Jr., and his teammate, Eddie Krawick, in the final round. This is Andrew's first win of the season and first win since Pomona 2, the Auto Club Finals of 2017. A long streak has been broken. Crew Chief Matt Hines, Andrew, you are a winner of the 50th Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals. Tell us a little bit about your race day.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the motorcycle I had this weekend was phenomenal. It was tracking straight down the track, and it responded to all the changes, and that made it so much easier to focus on going out there and racing and cutting good lights and not really worrying about what could happen the very next run. So just kind of kept my head level on the tuning I was doing on the motorcycle and making sure that I wasn't going to try to outdo myself. You know, that 200-mile-per-hour barrier was there that I really, really wanted to get, and I took a chance on second qualifier and knew that the weather was going to be good on Saturday, and I chopped the throttle early on Q2 to try and get in front of everybody for the third qualifying session. Unfortunately, didn't quite pay off, and I missed it 199.94, so that's a thorn in my side for this win at the 50th annual Gator Nationals. But heck, man, I felt good all weekend. I felt good all week. We went testing early in the week in Orlando, and Wade down there at the track did a great job of giving us a track surface that was really comparable to what we raced on this weekend. So I learned a lot with my motorcycle, and it was a brand new chassis. So it was unproven. We had changed a few things from what the chassis we built later last year that Chip rode and I rode at the Vegas Pomona. So we still had that question mark. Is it going to be okay? And we went testing, and it was phenomenal. It's made more 670 runs than anything it's ever made. So it went 680 once in testing, and heck, here it went a bunch of strings of 70. So I'm happy with how the guys gave me a consistent motorcycle. My crew guy, Mike, who's big on social media, he's our fabricator at the shop, and he's really proud that he welded that thing together, fitted it all up, and it came out here and performed flawlessly. So, it was a great effort by our team, and I thank them so much, and people, probably get crazy hearing that. But it is true. I mean, my crew is phenomenal. They do a great job, and it makes it so much easier for me as tuning the bike and riding it that I can go out there and know that it's going to leave the starting line. It's not going to shut off on the starting line. It's going to not have an engine failure or anything like that. It's just it's put together perfectly every single time.
Your 49th career win, final round against Eddie Krawick. You guys have spoken and gone through this experience many, many times. When you run Eddie, the team has won, but you're out for your own. And last year was such a brutal year on you. A long streak of having won at least one race every single year was broken. And you come out in 2019, obviously on a mission, and you get back in the winner's circle right away. Talk a little bit about Eddie standing in your way for that moment.
Yeah, Eddie's he's a tough competitor. He's been a major pain in my butt for the entire time he's been on our team, really. Yeah, he's clobbered away at getting his own wins, and he snuck up right behind me where he was at 47 when I was at 48, and I knew if he got the win light, then he was going to be tied with me for all-time class wins. And that's phenomenal. That's great, believe me. But for my side, I want to be ahead of him. I want to be the class leader. I've raced in this category now for, heck, 17 years, so 18 seasons, and seen my fair share of people come and go racing them, and Eddie by far is the toughest guy I have to race. And we both cut our best lights of the entire weekend through qualifying or eliminations in the final round against each other, so we both wanted it. And it's tough. He's beat me up so many times in the final, and a lot of that's due to we're both getting to the final round, but he's just got that little advantage all the way through Sunday where it's a couple hundreds here, a couple hundreds there, and then I take a swing at a tune-up or a 60-foot, and I end up throwing it away. And today, my bike seemed to be performing just that hair better. And we were making changes to his bike before that final round, and I'm like, we're both going over the tuning, and I'm like, he's willing to be a lot more risky than I am. I just wanted to sneak up on the tuning a little bit, and here he is. I'm making number changes, listening to what he's calling out, and I'm like, yeah, he's doing that right. And I was worried that he was going to drive around me, but we put on a heck of a show. I mean, quickest side-by-side run in NHRA history in the final round of the 50th annual Gator Nationals, so it doesn't get much better than that.
And it was a rematch of last year's final round.
It was. I think we've been in, three, four finals here together. And he's obviously got me every time, because the only one I ever won was my first national, my first win ever in 2004, so, which was also against the teammate GT Tonga at the time. So we got a good track record coming in and leaving Gator Nationals, I guess. But you know, rolling up there, I was nervous. He's a serious contender, and he does not get shaken at all. So I knew it was going to be a heck of a battle. I was so excited when I saw my wind light come on, because it's not very often that I can beat him.
Questions for members of the media.
Andrew, so your first ever win was your last win here?
Yes.
How do you explain that gap? I was shocked to find that.
I've been to quite a few finals here, and I've thrown away a couple of them. Double clutched against Matt Gadara one year, and took a couple swings at Eddie on a tune-up and just came up short a couple times. One of them was here last year. I just said, hey, let's throw this in my bike and try and learn for later in the year, and it didn't work. So it's just, I can't explain it. I did good there early in my career at the beginning races, I guess, because young kid not knowing any better. But I guess as I went on, I just started thinking too much. And then, like I said, I double clutched that one time. And I don't know. It never could get everything to align. And Eddie's won, what, six of these things? So he had it dialed in. Luckily today I was able to topple that top fourth wind light and put him on the trailer.
Mike is exceptionally proud of this motorcycle. His head is not going to fit through the door when you get back home.
No, he has every right to be proud. He did a lot of work on these things. We actually built two of them. We didn't get a chance to debut Eddie's yet, but it's sitting at the shop all welded together, ready to go. So in the next few races, we'll get that out here and get Eddie working just like mine is. So it's cool to see the path that Mike Mullaney has come. You know, he came on the team in 2014, and I call him spoiled because he's out here in the winner's circle counting up how many wins he has total, and he's had it good, but he's earned it. He's done a great job. And
wasn't he a fan at Englishtown who just kind of came up to you guys?
Well, he was friends with Eddie's brother, and they drag raced together at Englishtown, and he rode a top street bike out there, and he was a bracket racer. He still runs his bracket Hayabusa at Lucas Oil Raceway, so we have a good time with it. We go out on Wednesday nights, have fun. My son's racing his junior dragster, Mike's racing his bike, and but yeah, he's a student of MMI, so he's come through all the motorcycle training, and he got to our shop, and it was when we needed another crew guy, and we weren't sure what capabilities he had. He didn't know how to weld. He didn't know much fabrication. He just, wow. He had the desire to want to go learn. So he came to the shop, and anything we asked him to do, if he needed more training or information, he would go home and watch YouTube, and he took some welding classes and got hooked up with Tom Patsis at Cold Hard Art and taught him how to lay welding beads. And he's come a phenomenal distance in the 5 years he's been with our team.
Wow.
Yes. Follow-up question on that, if I may. In your opinion, who do you think is more excited about this win, you or Mike Mullaney?
Absolutely Mike Mullaney. we talk, and he wears the Apple the watch on his wrist. And when we went testing, my bike hadn't been down the track yet. Unproven, here I am planning on going 160-plus mile an hour to half track and shut off and see what happens. And he would watch his heart rate earlier in the day, and it was, you know, bouncing 65, 70, 80 whenever he was doing something. And he looked at it at the end of the day, and right at 12:30, when I went down the track the first time, his heart rate was at 175. So he was way more nervous than I was, because I was just sitting up there ready for a test session run. But I've worn a heart rate monitor on here before. It might, believe me, my heart rate on the starting line, it gets up there also. So, but he's put in the hard work, long hours, to make sure it's right. And then, you know, we got the engine guy, Scott, who's, you know, I've probably put way more stress on him than he deserves, because it's last minute time, you know, timing for when we're going to put engines together, what spec are we going to put them together with. And 2 weeks ago I said, okay, here's six motors, this is the spec for all of them. And he kind of sits back and says, all right, I'll get them done. And then he knocks them out, and next thing you know, he's in the fab room helping get the last final stages done on the race bike. And we finished it at 4 o'clock on Friday, loaded it in the truck, and it left Saturday morning. So here we are in the Gator Nationals. We took a picture at testing last week with just the two of us, me, Mike, and Scott, with the bike at testing. And now we took the picture with the winner's circle and the Wally and the hats, and it'll be a cool photo collage.
Didn't see Matt here this weekend.
Matt is not here. Matt is staying back at the shop and leading up the charge to make sure our R&D effort is going forward from now on. So it's, you know, Matt was instrumental in getting the bike wired. He's our wiring guru at the shop. So we came in this weekend with the newest MoTeC, which some people have been running for a couple of years, the M130. We took a stab at it, got rid of the race pack, and plumbed everything into the M130 so we can take that next progression forward and find different ways to tune these motorcycles. And that unlocked a few avenues for us that I was kind of handcuffed with before on getting the bikes, the optimum amount of power out of it every single time. So, but Matt was helping Mike along the way with building the chassis and getting the thing ready to come out here and go testing. So we got some new stuff coming down the pike that Matt's actually up in Milwaukee for today. So we're going to get to go experiment with some stuff here in the next couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Andrew, after last season, what other changes did you make to your routine? I saw that you lost some weight.
I did lose some weight. Middle of last year, I don't know if I got complacent at some point or I was just mentally not completely 100% checked into racing anymore and decided I needed to get back in the gym. So joined Orange Theory Fitness just a mile from my house, and my wife and I go work out there 2-4 times a week. And I wasn't striving to like lose a ton of weight. I actually never stepped on a scale from before Pomona last year at the end of the year until I left for the race this year, and I stepped on a scale. I'm like, whoa, 10 pounds, yes. So with me losing the weight and the bike losing some weight with taking a few components off, I was able to make weight at the track, which last year I was running about 10 pounds heavy. Which obviously wasn't helping the bike accelerate. So just found a way to want to win again. I was struggling a little bit mentally trying to come out here and perform 100%, which you can't lax any percentage at all. So it felt good to come back and have a string of fast. I think probably the biggest thing is we realized how much of a piece of crap my old motorcycle was with the chassis, and it must have had a wiring issue or something, because I was playing a 500-600 second fiddle to Eddie every single pass. And ever since I debuted this bike at testing, we're neck and neck, and it's just a matter of how close that tuning is, and it might be a half mile an hour here, half mile an hour there. So it's nice to get that back and know that I wasn't struggling as a rider. It was maybe something else holding me back, and kind of turn that corner, and here we go. We're gonna go run for it again.
Is there anything that you want us to know that hasn't already been asked in the multiple interviews, top end, winter stage, or here in the media center?
Oh, man, it's, the biggest thing, I guess, setting the national ET record. That's something that wasn't touched for 6.5 years. We set that with our old engine package back in 2012 that Eddie and I dominated with, winning 15 out of 16 events. And the big thing was for us to break that record. Matt Smith kind of put a chip on my shoulder after first round of qualifying. He rolled around the corner after he went 75, and he's like, your record's in jeopardy. And I'm like, no. So yeah. He's got a fast motorcycle, but hey, we took it all the way to the winner's circle, qualifying number one, set the national ET record, and luckily it was our Screaming Eagle Vance and Hines team to break that number. Now, if anybody else can go out and do it, so be it.
Andrew, thank you so much. Congratulations on winning the 50th Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals.
Thank you.